Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Is our alert to grow and change in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Why don't you sit down, take your seat. Tell you what, I can't wait for the prayer meeting tonight. It's going to be short and sharp, but it's going to be in the new place. We have one point to pray for. So I've been praying about the first prayer meeting in the church, which is awesome, and God's given me one point. So we're going to pray together for an hour on one point. Do you reckon you can do it?
Yeah.
Yep, for it? So that apparently, can you believe this? It doesn't happen in this church, but apparently Christians can only pray in tongues for about 20 seconds. Crazy, hey? Yeah, so try that at home. See how you go. Put the clock on and see where you get to. And I heard that a while ago. Yeah. I know. It's just crazy. So I've never seen it in this church, though. That's the thing. So we're like, you know, give us an hour. We'll just keep going. So it's awesome. Can't wait for tonight. Hey, this Wednesday night, if there's any free people that would like to come to the new church, we're going to lay carpet, and we need some people to help with that. So it's awesome if we get like 10 people, 15 people, because what happens is it's a big auditorium, and we'll have a couple of people laying, and then we just need people constantly bringing carpet, spreading glue, and there'll just be two or three of us laying, but we need an army of people constantly supplying those carpet squares so we can get them down. We got blessed this week again, believe it or not. The church that's moving into this building gave us cash for this carpet. So we are able to buy new carpet. So that gets delivered. It was meant to get delivered today, but I said I'm in the house of the Lord today. Not a good day. So tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday. So so Wednesday we're going to do this at 6 p.m. Till just as long as you can. Some of us will go pretty late. And we'll try and get as much down, and then we'll do the rest during the week. Good times, eh?
Yeah.
You ready for today's message?
Yes, let's go.
Oh, yeah. Digging the wells. Digging the wells. Digging the wells. Last year, Mel and I were loved upon by an amazing friend of ours, a valuable friend that we trust very much, and he prophesied over us. And he had no idea about the church. And he prophesied over Mel and I, and he said, I believe that God is calling you to redig old wells. And he didn't know that earlier in that week, we got the yes from City Point and the INC movement to buy the new building. And the very next morning, we were going to take our leaders through for the first time. They didn't even know yet. And we were going to take them through. And he didn't know this, and he said that he prophesied over us that we will be redigging wells. And so what is he talking about when he's talking about us redigging wells? Well, in the Bible, Abraham, who is regarded as the father of our faith. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that's his two kids. And Abraham dug wells and through what's called the promised land. So he was on his little journey to Egypt, so this is before the Egyptian exile and all the rest of that story. But Abraham dug wells. And when he dug these wells, it was because he was a blessed man. He had so much cattle. He was a multimillionaire. And he had servants everywhere. And he was a very rich man. And they needed to dig wells for life. Who knows that a well is a life source? A well gives you living water. Spiritually, we call a well the source of living water. In the natural, it's just water. But we realize that without a well, we can't live. We can't prosper. We can't sustain our riches, and everything that we've got will die if we don't have all of his cattle will die. His servants will die. He will die without the wells. And spiritually, when we talk about wells, we are talking about living water. The well of the Holy Spirit who is inside of us and brings sustenance to our life. Because the truth is without the Holy Spirit flowing through us and the love of Jesus flowing through us, as Christians, we would die. That's the truth. is without the Holy Spirit, we just wear a badge. With the Holy Spirit, we can live the Christian life. And so we're talking about living well. So we're going to pick up this story when Isaac, his son, comes. And Isaac has to re-access these wells that his dad dug a long time ago, because they lived forever back then. So in Genesis 26, verse 1, it says, Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Then Isaac sowed in that land. So this is the son of Abraham. And he reaped in the same year a hundredfold. Could you imagine? Have you ever been prayed, I prophesy over you that you'll reap a hundredfold? This is where that comes from. In 1 year. Could you just imagine the amount of blessing? It's kind of like, me rocking up to church, because I'm a blessed man, so I'll just talk about me for a sec. It's like me rocking up to church and I've got a new car, and then I've got a new house, and then I've got a new child, you know, family's expanding. It's just like in 1 year, the blessing of a hundredfold. Can I tell you this? You ready for it? We are in a season, church, of blessing. We are in a season of reaping. How do I know? Because I'm in a season of reaping. This is the truth, okay? When your pastors start to move into that season, so will the people if they follow. So will the people if they humble themselves before the Lord. Listen, if they tithe to God, if they do and follow the leadership of their elders in the church, they will reap. You know, you can see that through the scriptures. We are in a season of blessing and it's already overflowing. I'm not just saying we are special people. I'm saying we are special people. I'm saying the hand of God is upon us and we are in a new season. Now, many people, right, have looked around this very church and we've seen people leave, haven't we? We've seen lots of stuff going on the last 12 months. Let me show you why, because it's actually in the scripture of what happens. So we'll continue reading verse 12. I'm just going to get all excited today. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper, I love this, and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Like it just doesn't stop. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. We see this later in Egypt. It happens again when the second Pharaoh comes. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up, had plugged up, had put dirt in all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. And they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than what we are. Jealousy. Then Isaac departed, and then who knows that when Isaac departed, the blessing departed with him. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found the well of running water there. And the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. So he named it Issek, which means quarrel. Then verse 21, then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So we called that one Sitnah, which means enmity. Verse 22, and he moved from there and dug another well. And they did not quarrel over this one. So he called that Rehoboth, which means spaciousness. This is the season we're moving into as a church. Because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us. We will be fruitful in this land. Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him in the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Who knows that sometimes we have to remember that God called this church 21 years ago. Jason and Michelle, the pastors, the founding pastors back then, had a word from God to build a church in this community. And I tell you, I'm pretty sure God didn't say, build a church, I'm going to put something inside of you guys to be able to do it, and it's going to fail. It's going to be awesome. Give it 10 years. City Point will come in and it's just going to fall to pieces. I'm pretty sure that's not the word that Jason and Michelle had. I'm pretty sure God said to them, you go build a church in Caboolture and it will prosper and it will grow and it will be a beacon. It will be a light on the hill. It will shine bright when the world in 2021 just has no reason about it and no rhyme about it and the world is just falling apart. That church will stand and it will grow. I'm pretty sure Jason and Michelle had that dream inside of them, that word of God. And sometimes we have to remember where we've come from. And I like this because God's reminding them that it was your father Abraham. And he's reminding them after they've gone through all the turmoil, after the jealousy, being kicked out of the land, people coming against them, enmity amongst the saints, and all this stuff going on. And imagine Isaac here with trying to keep his herdsmen together and keep his cattle together and keep them fed and all this stuff. Could you just imagine? And right at the end of them, God goes, but don't forget Isaac. Don't forget, your father dug these wells. And he thought back then he was digging them for his herd. He didn't realize he was digging them for yours. He didn't realize he was digging them for the future. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. I love that. He called on the name of the Lord. You know, church, no matter what season we go to, we can never forget to dig that well of calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe the generation before us has forgotten. Maybe people around have forgotten that when you go through hard times, you need to call on the name of the Lord. Maybe people around seem to have forgotten that we haven't forgotten, amen? We're digging that well deep again. And getting that wellspring, that living water flowing back through our lives where we will not forget to call on the name of the Lord. So after all this, Abimelech came to Isaac, acknowledging that the Lord was favoring him. So he humbled himself. And then in verse 31, it says, then they, which is Abimelech and Isaac, arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another. And Isaac sent them away. Oh, this excites me. And they departed from him in peace. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they have just dug. And he said to him, we have found water. So he called it Sheba, which means a well of the oath or a well of the seven. Listen, we are in a season of reaping right now. We are in a season where peace is coming. But we have to once again humble ourselves as people come back, as friends come back into your world that maybe did wrong by you, as people have spoken against the house that you and I love so much, but they start coming back. It's not up to us to show them where they went wrong and teach them a lesson. It's up to us to humble ourselves again and say, come. Because as the God has blessed us and as we continue to march forward and the gates of hell continue to proceed backwards, as we continue to rise and move in the name of the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we continue to be blessed and receive buildings and to just walk in blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing, there is room enough for you. And your sins are forgiven. I forgive you as a brother and sister, and our God forgives you. Why? Because he says it in his word, that he is the Redeemer, and you can come home, and you can be part of City Point, you can be part of this family, and you can be part of the God-given future for this community. You receive that, church? Awesome, hang. What a story. Wells represent salvation, water, and a life source. Each person is faced with the temptation to walk only by sight and not by faith. But today, I want to call faith out of every single one of us here today. I want to call faith out of us. You know what I've been learning about faith? Is faith, to me, is everything. Faith, to me, is just everything. My future, my family's future, the world around me's future, my acceptance of the things I accept and don't accept into my world and around my world, everything hinges on faith. Because with faith, you need works. Otherwise, faith is dead. So when I talk about faith, I'm thinking more than just words. I'm thinking more than Holy Spirit, give me faith. Because I don't know, but my Bible says that with just a mustard seed of faith, I can move a mountain. Which means every one of us here today has a mustard seed of faith. Every one of us. So faith isn't the issue. Works is. Works is the issue. So what is works? Works is confession. Works is stepping out in boldness. Worth is a belief that will overwhelm you to action. Wealth is finance. Wealth is giving. Works is giving. Works is not about receiving. Faith is not about receiving. Faith is not about blessing. It's about being a blessing to others. That's what faith is about. When we activate faith, we receive. Always. Without fail. Without fail. God actually promises in His word. He says, test me on this. And when it comes to finance and generosity. Faith is everything for us to move forward. Which means faith is everything for life. Now don't get me. Don't misjudge what I'm trying to say. I get it's actually Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But what I'm saying is you can be saved and you can be worthless at the same time. Not spiritually worthless, but worthless to this world. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we can be saved and we can be Christians, but we're just sucking someone else's oxygen and just playing computer games for, 70 years. Like, just going to work, coming home, going to work, coming home. Going to work. Our biggest reward in life is when we get married or we have a child. But we're called to so much more. And so life flows through us when there is a well of living water inside of us that compels us to do works with our faith. Is this making sense to anyone? To everyone? So to me, faith is everything. Because I know that God hasn't created any one of us worthless. In fact, He's created you and I so valuable that He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can bring works to our faith. Because without the Holy Spirit, our works is in vain also. The Pharisees and the Scriptures teach us that. So the Holy Spirit makes our works with the attitude and the understanding of faith become one of the most powerful things this planet has ever seen. Because you can turn a storm into a victory with faith. You can turn debt into prosperity with faith. You can turn hopelessness into an overwhelming hope with faith. You can even receive healing with faith. So what does works look for with faith when it comes to things like healing? Well, it starts with confession. When no one else can see, my brother says my leg will grow. And he has no problem with me saying that. Why? Because he's a man full of faith. I know him. And so he confesses what isn't as though it is. The Scriptures teach us that. That's faith. That's the works to faith. Now, when you just walk around saying, well, the weather's going to stop and this, well, then that's stupidity. Okay, it's with faith. It's not with a lack of wisdom. It's with biblical wisdom. that our faith gets stirred. Is this making sense? So when we walk around just saying things just all over the place because we're acting in faith, but really it's stupidity, it's because we aren't coming out of the substance of the word. In other words, we're saying things without the realization that God is actually going to do it. In other words, we're saying things with hope, but not with a confidence in who Jesus is. Can you see the difference? And so this is, we need to re-dig some of these wells. I think we're called in every single generation to re-dig these wells. Has anyone ever dug a hole before? Okay, you need some tools, there's a bit of sweat, you need a can of Coke beside you for smoko, right? And then you need a massage parlor for the next morning, all right? Digging wells isn't easy work, but I think we're up for it. I think as a church, we're up for it. How do we dig these wells? What's the work that I'm talking about? I'm talking about pulling yourself away, pulling yourself aside and praying. Let me just read some of this. We need to re-dig the wells of salvation and witnessing. Isaiah 12:3 says, "Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." The psalmist said in Psalms 116:13, "I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." See, God's program for us is something more than a ticket to heaven. God's program for you and I, there's more than just a ticket to heaven. We re-dig the wells of salvation that remind us that what the Lord has done for us and in us, He wants to do through us for other people. The water from this well revitalizes the passion to let people know about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to re-dig this well of salvation, which is the well to witness. We need to re-dig the well. In other words, remind ourselves of what God has saved us from. In other words, go to prayer and say, "God, would you overwhelm me with your love again, like the day that I was compelled to give my heart to you? Because when you overwhelm me with my salvation and my delight in you, Lord, I will walk out of this room of prayer and I can do nothing else but tell somebody about the love and the restoration that God has for their lives." Redig the wells of salvation and witnessing. Let's redig the wells of the Word. Rediscover the wells of the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 informs us that the Word of God shall not depart from our mouths. Psalms 1:2 informs us that we are to meditate upon the Word of God day and night. Every day and every night. Every day. This is why in the church we say, "Have you read your Bible today?" This is why we have routines in our world as Christians to wake up every morning and make sure we read the scriptures, we read the Word of God. It could just be one verse, but open that Bible, read one verse and meditate on it that day. Meditating on His Word day and night, every day and every night. We don't have time off from the Word of God. That's like having time off from God. Why? Because when you redig the well has living water inside of it. When we redig the well of reading the Word of God, that Word of God is literally life to us, to our spirit man. Our spirit doesn't crave going out with friends. Our flesh does. Our spirit craves the Word of God. Our spirit craves prayer. Our spirit craves intimacy with our Father God. That's what our spirit craves. And when we give into that and re-dig that well, you will see living water coming into every area of your life. You'll be revitalized in every area of your life. I reckon we can do this year. Redig this well of reading our word. Set your alarm. Oh, I do. I set my alarms for everything. And well, I can't remember a thing. You know, so I just have alarms for everything, you know, and set alarms. And strategically, I'm doing the chronological Bible this year in a year, which is just like insane. We're reading so much every day, but it's revitalizing my soul. Let's redig the wells of prayer. You know, when we think about prayer tonight, it's just not a, it's not a thought process unless you literally can't. We're just there. Why? Because there's an opportunity for the saints to come together and pray. Like, where else would you want to be? This is life source to my soul. Let's redig the wells of prayer. Matthew 6:6 says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father will see, who sees in secret will reward you openly." Redigging the well of prayer isn't a public well. It's a personal well, personal prayer. It's that well of prayer that only you and God and maybe your spouse knows about. Like, hun, I'm just going for a walk right now because I just want to spend 20 minutes in prayer. It's that well that we need to dig. Not the corporate prayer meetings. It's not like putting on Facebook, "I'm praying for you, brother. You know, I pray that you get well." Not that. God wants the intimate prayer because it's that prayer that moves a mountain. This is what I've learned. The other prayer is great. It brings the saints together. There's unity. And where there's unity, God is in their midst and all that. But in that secret prayer, that's where your corporate prayer becomes powerful. Has anyone else noticed that? If you don't have the secret prayer, your mind is just going the whole time in the corporate prayer. You know, when we have a prayer meeting, you're just trying to, "God, forgive me for my sins. God, get my heart right. I haven't prayed for a week." You know, and you just spend an hour doing that. But when we've got the secret prayer down, when we dig that well and we get to the corporate prayer, there's 100 of us. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? So, so powerful. Me and Pastor Rick used to just walk this auditorium praying some mornings. And the two of us with secret prayer lifestyle, with that well that's just flowing, when we would come together, man, like we didn't even pray on the same page. Like we didn't give each other points, but we were just, we would, like this room was just nuts. Like it was just, the spirit realm was awake and alive and we were there. It's just awesome. So, so awesome. I just want to hit quickly five wells that Isaac dug, just so we can have a really good understanding of the system of spiritual life or the system of Christian life when we are Christians that dig wells, when we are Christians of breakthrough and that are determined just to move forward in life. I just want to show you and outline the five wells that Isaac and his servants dug. The first well was jealousy. You notice in the scripture that when he dug the first well, that the Philistines got jealous. Do you know there's still Philistines in the world today? And as we dig wells to move forward, we will see people around us, maybe good friends, maybe people from afar, or people on Facebook. We will see jealousy come out of people. But there's a second well. And the second well creates or causes arguments. Now, this is within the church, outside of the church, in families, Facebook world, wherever. But when you are a person that starts to move forward and people start to see you prospering, start to see the herds and the servants or the cars and the houses and the joy that's inside of you and the peace that you always seem to have, no matter what, people will start to argue with you. You know, family will start to argue with you. And people around will get jealous with you when you're digging these sort of and moving forward. And often in these times, this is when we give up. We say things like, obviously, this is not what God wants. Because God is a God of order. And this chaos, God would not have. Well, God's not creating the chaos. But the enemy's camp is starting to feel defeated as you and I move forward, and the enemy is starting to bring things up in people's world. And the actual truth is if those people keep bringing it before God, God will turn all things together for good and he will grow them in the same moment. But we aren't to retreat when arguments are around. The third well is accusation. When we start moving forward as a church, when you start moving forward in your life, right, accusations will start Me and Mel have had plenty of this in the last 10 years. Accusations from everywhere, you know. But that's a sign to us that, you know, God, you just got to dig deep. And you just say, God, I'm going to keep digging this well until we hit that living water. Because I know, God, that although everyone is coming against me, they're jealous, they're arguing with me, there's enmity, Lord God. People are pulling us down. God, you called us to this. God, you placed this dream in me when I was 10 years old. You know, God, you gave me the vision that I'm going to be a mother with many children. I'm going to raise great sons and daughters in the house of God. God, you said that when I marry this man or this woman, that we will prosper together and that two will become one, yet we seem apart. But God, you said that. And so we continue to dig that well, because although people are arguing and coming against you, God said that. Keep digging the well, because there's two more wells about to come, and we want to get to these. Number four, which is the season we're in as a church right now, is there is room enough. There is room enough. Let me tell you, when we don't stop digging wells, when we don't stop prayer, and we don't stop reading the Bible, when we don't stop pursuing righteousness, when we don't stop saying, me and my house will serve the Lord, when we don't stop saying, my life and the church I go to will be a light in our community, when we don't stop saying to ourselves, I will overcome fear right now, I'm going to speak Jesus to this person because they need it, and I'm the only one here that can help them because I have Jesus inside of me to offer them. When we don't stop, people will start to see. And what happens is the Spirit of God, who always wins, we know the last page of the Bible, right? He will always win. He will move scales off people's eyes. And we start to enter a season that we are right now, where the Holy Spirit is moving the scales, and we no longer feel like we have to fight to do that. This is where the Scripture comes through. Can we just go for two more minutes? Are you all right? Last Sunday in the church, all that sort of stuff. Sometimes in our life, we just feel like through prayer and fasting and all this, that we are just fighting for things. Is that true? We are just like, God, I've been praying for 20 years. God, I've confessed every scripture in your word. None of them seem to be working. God, my faith is still strong, but where there's no faith, would you just help me? You know, have you ever felt like that? But there is a point comes where you will dig a well, and out of that well will burst a dam, a shoot up of living water will come out. And when that happens, God goes, I've heard your prayer. And he sends his Spirit, and he starts pulling the scales off people's eyes. And no longer are we in a fight, but we are just walking in blessing after blessing, victory after victory. We are drinking and drinking living water. We just feel so alive. There is peace beyond everything. We see the world around us. We see the problems with, you know, all around us. But we just have this overwhelming faith that all things will work out. Positivity is on our lips. That's the season we're in. And so the invite is would you see it? And would you join it? Because it's here and it's yours. And that's what I want to say today, church. Is this new building isn't about Mel and I and great leaders and all that. This is your building. And God's gifted it to us because we are walking in a season of an overwhelming blessing, of overwhelming prosperity, where there's been debt in your world. You're going to start to see finances and things come through, where you've stepped out and been faithful and have stepped out in tithing, and you've said that this never works. You're going to start to see it flow through your world with the promises in the Scripture that you've been believing for family and friends. You're just going to start to see it, and it's going to be like you're just standing back with your arms crossed, you know, having a can of soft drink, and God's just going to be doing things all around you that you've been believing for many, many years. You receive that today? So, so good. There's one more well. There's one more well. And it's the well of restoration. The well of restoration. There's another word for this well. It's called revival. The well of restoration. I believe we're on the brink of this well. I think we've just entered the well of room enough. People around us are starting to see. The kings are starting to come. And I'm talking spiritually here. The spiritual kings in people's lives that have held them back in their sin, in dysfunction, in turmoil, in a lack of hope, and not being able to see how much God loves them, but seeing God on the other angle. You know, if he's a God of love, how can he do this to me? Seeing God like that. But these people are coming. This is a season we're in. The Holy Spirit's going to move those scales on their eyes. They're going to drop off. And they're going to see us for who we are. The church of Christ who walks in blessing. The favor of the King of the universe. And they're going to see that Christianity is true. That your life works. The way you live and what you believe and everything you've always told them and preached to them works. And it's true. And God moves upon that. They're going to start to see that in your world. And they're going to come and they're going to submit to that, to the God in you. Submit to God and say, the God you serve is the God I want to serve. That's where we're entering. And then we dig another well, because we aren't going to stop, are we, church? We're going to dig another well of restoration. Restoration. There's two sides to this coin of restoration. The people, he will leave the 99 for the one. You know that scripture? It's the ones. I've got to preach on that one day. The ones. The people that were in the house all across this world, not just here, and walked away by choice. They're the ones. By choice, they've walked away. Deceived. Other people's voices have been too loud in their heads and in their hearts. This world has drawn them places. Lack of wisdom maybe in their world, and they've been swayed just by pressures of life, and they just found themselves no longer amongst the saints and have lived for years now and not following Christ. Restoration is coming. And they need to hear from you and I that we love them. They need to hear from you and I that we accept them. And what their journey has been their journey. But isn't God great? Because he's brought you back. They need to hear from you and me the gospel again. They need to hear the truth. And they need to see you and I as righteous, unwavering children of God. This is why God's been cleaning his church out all around the world. He used COVID to do it. What the enemy meant for evil, he turned it for good. God has cleaned his church out because it's the only way his church can become the source of restoration. Because the church has had to look and appear as the Word of God is in order for the world to be able to look at us and say, that's the church. So that people can see that the church is alive, it's active, it's pure and it's right, and it works. God is King. And their lives are blessed and fruitful. What am I missing? And while we were looking like the world for a while there, I believe, there was nothing to be restored to. See, because we know that we all need to be restored to God. But Jesus built his church. And we need to look like the restored so that people know what restoration looks like, what it sounds like, and how it lives. So God cleaned out his church over the last 12 months. And he will continue for whatever season longer, but that well is coming of restoration. There's another side to it. The other side is this. As we witness, this is good. As we begin to witness from today forward, I'm declaring this. As you and I step out in faith with our works, which is our confession, our invitation to people, and we witness, we're going to start to see the Holy Spirit draw people to the house of God again, and which means to the Lord. That's the other side. So I'm talking about people who have never given their hearts to God. As we are bold now, you need to know that I believe the Spirit of God is actually going to move through you, and you're just going to see things happen. I honestly believe on this side of the coin, this is where the miracles are released. People are set free. It's because as we have the works with the faith and start to step out, we have dug a well, and the wells are being dug where the Spirit of God supernaturally with power, with authority, is going to transform people's lives in an instant. You believe that? Receive that today, church? Awesome. Yeah, let's give God a shout of praise as this is what's happening. Father, I just want to thank you for your word today. So powerful. It's always just powerful. Father, I just want to thank you for this church. Thank you for our future. We honor our past. Father, we honor the 21 years of being a church here in Caboolture. Father, the 10 years of being City Point, Pastor Rick and Jenny, Jason, Michelle. We honor what you have done in this place. And Father, it's on this foundation that we stand. It's on the rock of righteousness and truth and the word of the Lord that has a promise for us that we will be a light on the hill, that Father, as a church, we will grow, that Father, as a church, we'll be influential in this community. Father, we believe this and we stand on it. And Father, in 2 weeks' time, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, Father, for humanity, we also celebrate the resurrection of the church being alive in this community. Father, as the world cannot deny that Jesus was and is to come, they will not be able to deny that the church was alive, it's never gone, it's restored, and it's moving forward into its new day. And Father, we believe right now for people to come into your house and to know you as we move forward into our grand future. In Jesus' mighty name, we all say.